Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
So the news before the first training camp practice today was that the team activated Johnny Newton off the non-football injury list. He passed the physical he practiced today. That was much sooner than we thought. Love the kind of underselling overperforming on the discussion of Johnny Newton's injury. Even as recently as yesterday, there wasn't like an actual time frame given. They had to know that they were going to activate him off the non-football injury list, or maybe he just passed the physical late yesterday or early this morning. They also declared F.A. Obada as a physically unable to perform player today. So those are the two roster moves for the team prior to the first day of training camp. John Allen, the practice just ended. John Allen and Terry McLaurin are the two players that are speaking, and we'll have some of that sound, or at least be able to share with you some of what they said before the end of the show. And yes, I have seen on Twitter all of the discussion about a perfect Jaden Daniels touchdown throw to Brian Robinson Jr. I do not get ginned up over training camp play-by-play. Call me crazy, but I actually like to see the real games before making a determination. But I do feel optimistic. Yes, for those of you that have said this is all about your year-long love affair with Jaden Daniels, I feel really good about him as a quarterback. I do. I mean, we understand that as fans, we don't know anything. You know, one out of four, basically, typically in the early, you know, rounds of the draft. You know, six of them taken in the top 12, unprecedented in recent, well, in NFL history in terms of the most quarterbacks taken in that short period of time. You know, two out of the six, you know, basically 33% are going to end up being legitimate. You know, is he going to be one of the two? I think he's got a chance to be one of the two. I think he's really dynamic, and everything thing I've been hearing publicly and privately is that this is one hell of a person and a competitor, and it's a lot of what you saw last year. He's also, there are concerns, you know, that frame, he's tall, but no matter what people say about seeing him up close, he's not nearly as skinny as you think. You know, he's thicker in this part of his body than you think. Yeah, I mean, I watched him play college football. He took some big hits, you know, and at the NFL level, those same hits may end up, you know, putting him out. But, you know, a lot of guys take those hits all the time and never get hurt. We'll see. I think he'll be smarter, hopefully less desperate. He played on a team last year that literally could not punt without giving up 7 points if they did. That's how bad defensively LSU was last year. And I think it was the competitor in him understanding, you know, it's 3rd and 15. I can't give up on this play. We got to stay on the field, because if our punter comes out, we're down another 7 to the opponent. I'm excited about Cliff Kingsbury and what he'll do, and I have no idea what it's going to look like. I would think we're going to see a lot of 11 personnel, but I also think we're going to see a lot of 2-backs, you know, at times. You know, that was the still photo, right, of what Brandon Ayuk sent out via TikTok, where the, you know, 2-backs on opposite sides of Jaden Daniels in the shotgun. I'm here on the first day of training camp practice giving you what I think they're going to do this year. It's early. I don't think I've done it this early before. Maybe I have. It's the first time since 2017, when Cousins was still the quarterback, that I've given a winning record out. It's the most optimistic I've been about the on-field product since 2017. It's a long run. Look, this was a bad, bad franchise that did not have the easy out with a quarterback that could play. You know, and it wasn't just that Cousins could play, but there were some dynamic weapons around him. And whatever you think about Jay Gruden as a head coach, Jay Gruden was a really good offensive mind and pass offense designer. He really was. And so they had a chance with some of those teams, no matter how bad they were defensively. But since then, yeah, I know what they did with Alex Smith. My guy Alex actually tweeted and said, "Didn't you think the Alex Smith team was going to be good?" No, I didn't. I think probably the best I would have predicted for that team was 7-9. You know, that year, I did not feel great about Alex Smith. I didn't feel badly about Alex Smith. I thought Alex Smith was always a solid NFL game managing starting quarterback, but I thought they had made a big mistake with not, you know, signing Cousins to a long-term deal. But more importantly, after they realized that they weren't going to make him an offer to keep him here, they should have traded him. All right, phone lines are open. I'm going 10-7 wild card berth. I feel that good about it. Defense steps up in a big way, much better coached. Offense with Daniels and Kingsbury ends up being a big surprise and hopefully an early performer, which is unusual with rookie quarterbacks. C.J. Stroud was the exception to the rule last year. Typically, it's up and down, and it's not necessarily 10-7 in a playoff berth, you know, but the good ones typically show something in that first year, and I think we'll at least see that. But I'm going 10-7 wild card berth. Reserve the right to change in early September, but I don't think I will. I don't. Let's go to Chad. Chad in Nashville on line one. Chad, what do you got?
What's good, Kevin? Long time no talk.
Yeah, how are you, Chad?
Feels good to go. I'm doing good, man. Feels good to go after Bobby, you know, because every time I go after Ian, I always feel like Michael Scott and Toby walks in. You know, no offense, Ian.
Ian and Toby time, have brother. Similar characteristics. True.
Oh, my gosh, I know. Jeez Louise. And also, of course it's Jaden Daniels. Like, I mean, yes, of course I'm in love with him. I wasn't at first. You talked me up into it, and then we draft him. And ever since, everything I've seen, and I finally went back, I'm like, holy crap, I think we got a guy. I mean, you got a guy as fast as Lamar Jackson, accurate, quick release, and then you've got a coordinator who runs a spread offense that caters to the strengths of him. I mean, I remember watching those Cardinals games with Kyler Murray. You couldn't stop him. especially, and you got a basically a taller Kyler Murray. Now, my prediction, I'm going with you. I'm going 10-7. And I want to say, as far as optimistic goes, I'm as optimistic as I am probably the first time since 2012. And I say that because I actually draw some similarities from this team and that team. Shanahan and the crew that he put together as far as the coaching staff. All the players that they brought in, and they didn't spend a lot of money when they brought those players in. And you have RG3. Defense, you had question marks, and the defense wasn't that good. And then looking at the weapons and stuff, I kind of draw a similarity. You know, some you could get some factors-wise opposite, but I draw similarities. And I could see, I believe, that year, weren't they 10-7? Oh, no. They went 9-6, and they tied one game that year, didn't they?
Which season are you talking about again? Sorry.
RG3's first year, 2012.
Oh, yeah. Well, they won seven games in a row and finished 10-6, yes.
10-6. I see similarities to that team right there. The new coaching staff, first-year quarterback. I mean, look, to me, everything's – and you're not the only one, Kev, that is feeling like they're this wild-card team. I see them as one of the top three, if not the number one surprise team this year, and I have not felt that way in a long time. I'm telling you, I think they are going to be a wild card team. And then I'm going to say this last, and this is why it also makes me chuckle a little bit. Did you see the video of the Giants GM talking to his kid? And his kid's like, yo, you know, what would you do if you're going to want to win? What's the first thing you do? And he told his kid, I would draft Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I didn't watch the Hard Knocks thing. I didn't watch it. Thanks, Chad, as always. I appreciate the call. I didn't watch the Hard Knocks thing. I've been told it was excellent and that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll in particular really liked Jaden Daniels. It's funny because that first video that came out 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, where he was, he was in that meeting at the Indy Combine with Jaden and he asked him to recite a play. A lot of people were like, uh-oh, like it was a bad thing. No, Daboll, you know, in one of those episodes, he wanted them to try to trade up to get Jaden Daniels. He said that would be the guy to trade up. Look, I understand why Jaden Daniels was so sought after and so well sort of analyzed and positively analyzed by most. You know, by the way, you brought up the Cardinals in that first Kyler Murray year. They went 5-10-1 in that season. First of all, I do not think that Kyler Murray is a good comp for Jaden Daniels. Kyler Murray is tiny. He is tiny. He can't see over the line of scrimmage. But that year with Kingsbury, and ultimately they would have a really good season in 2021, right? I think that was the playoff season when they went 11-6. They had a terrible playoff game. But the first year was 2019. They were 5-10-1. But I went back, this was like a few weeks ago, and I think I talked about it on the show. Every game was competitive. Like a lot of the games, offensively, they were really competitive. Like they had some really close losses, some walk-off losses that year where they gave up a lot of points defensively because they just weren't good enough defensively. But I don't even think Kyler Murray is the real comp. I really don't. The Lamar Jackson comp, I get it, but I just don't see him as the dual threat quarterback where you're presenting him as a run threat and you're running a lot of zone read and you're running a lot of power, you know, sweep with your quarterback or counter with your quarterback. I don't see Daniels needing to be that guy, but I'm so interested and fascinated with what Kingsbury will do. Don't look at Kingsbury's record as a head coach and say and get concerned about that. I don't. You know, offensively, they were decent with him. I think he is probably more of an offensive coordinator and a quarterback guy. Everybody that knows this guy or has been around people who have been around Kingsbury swear by him. It's going to be interesting to see what he chooses to do. Let's go to Gregory. Gregory's calling from Costa Rica. Gregory, San Jose, is that where you are?
Actually, Kevin, I'm just about an hour outside of the west of San Jose. It's considered the most western suburb. It's called Ciudad Colón. Great little town, 16,000 people, about an hour from the coast. temperature is probably about 74 degrees right now. Wonderful
beautiful,
weather.
Beautiful place in the world, yeah. That is for sure.
It's a pretty awesome place to live, I'll say that. Kevin, I'm going to notch it down just one win, go 9-8, be pulling for that 10th win. I'm 62 years old. I've bled burgundy and gold since I was a little boy, and have never wavered, even for all the years that lived in Cincinnati. Grew up in Richmond. My father's from there. I love what I see. This new ownership. I thought we had a kick-ass draft, and all that becomes very infectious, and I think the team is going to respond. It's going to be an exciting year, and I just want to get back to winning, and I'll leave it at that.
Yeah, thanks, Gregory.
Love your show. I think you do a great job. Your perspective is awesome, and I tune in often. You guys have a great day.
Appreciate it.
Vida from Costa Rica. Yes, sir. You got it.
Thank you, Gregory. One of the most beautiful spots in the world, Costa Rica, for sure. Let's go to Matt on line three. Matt, I'm at 10-7 with a wild card berth. Where are you? By the way, I'm serious, people. Some of you think that I am literally doing a bit. I'm not doing a bit. I understand I have not been very optimistic about this team for a long period of time. Why would I have been at any point in time, especially since 15, 16, 17, when at least you had offensively a fighting chance? I just like a lot of what they've done, and yes, it's the quarterback. You know, it's the economy, stupid. It's the quarterback, stupid, when it comes to the NFL. Matt, go ahead.
Yeah, no, I think you're completely warranted. I think the people who are crazy are the ones who are expecting us to do so poorly. I mean, Ron Rivera and Jack Del Rio were a disaster, in my opinion. I mean, I think they're good for at least two wins just based on the team being believing and being
two
able to win games and actually wanting to go play. I mean, you could see the team gave up. Nothing against the players, but there was no desire to win there. So, I mean, I think you're getting at least wins from that alone. And then I agree with you wholeheartedly on Daniels. I mean, anyone who's watched the quarterbacks that have come through here, you got to know he's the best talent we've had since RG3. I mean, as far as potential, I'm in lockstep with you. Give me 9 10s, hopefully 10. Give me 9 wins, hopefully 10.
Yeah. Thanks. Appreciate it, Matt. I mean, the start to this season is going to be huge. You know, I mean, I guess they could come on late like they did in RG3's rookie year. You know, the funny thing about 2012, first of all, again, I don't see Jaden Daniels as an RG3 comp either. I think he is a much more advanced passer from the pocket, number one. Number two is a runner. I think he's more dynamic than RG3, and I think he's a much better vision runner. You know, RG3, straight line track guy, that's not Jaden Daniels. But, you know, on that way to 3-6 in that very, you know, kind of memorable game against Carolina before the bye week, when Shanahan sort of implied that it was time to start, you know, looking ahead to the next season. And then they came out of that bye week and won 7 straight, went to the playoffs. We know what happened, you know, in that January playoff game against Seattle at home. But that 3-6 start, Griffin was outstanding. You know, the quarterback, the young quarterback, was not the problem. You know, they beat New Orleans. They had close losses to the Rams and the Bengals in some order there. I forget the way it went. They beat Minnesota when he had that 76-yard touchdown run. They had a close loss when he threw the touchdown pass to Santana Moss for the lead against the Giants. They were a super competitive team. I'm pulling up the 2012 schedule here. They were 3-3 after that win over Minnesota. 38-26 that game. How many rushing yards did Griffin have in that game? 13 carries, 138 yards. in that game, and they won 38-26. And yeah, they lost to St. Louis in week two by three, to Cincinnati in their home opener by seven. They beat Tampa by two. They lost to Atlanta. That game, I think Griffin got knocked out of that game, and they lost that game by seven. Beat Minnesota, lost to the Giants by four, lost to Pittsburgh by 15, and Carolina by eight. But every one of those losses, with the exception of the Pittsburgh loss, was 8 points or less. I still, it's not a comp for me, though. RG3 is just not a comp for me when it comes to Daniels. You know, we've heard a lot of the comps. I think the Randall Cunningham comp has always been an interesting one, but I think Daniels has a more compact throwing motion. It's also a different time in the league than it was when Cunningham was the quarterback. I think you've got somebody that isn't going to be reliant on rushing yards. Jonesy, we'll finish it up with Jonesy. Jonesy, go ahead. I've got 10-7. What do you got?
I got 9-8, Kevin. How have you been, man?
What's up, Jonesy? Been a while, man.
Yes, it sure has, man. You know, vacation and stuff is about to wrap up soon. So, yeah, you'll be probably hearing from me a lot more. But I got 9-8. For, like, my man in Costa Rica. But here's the switch, man. I've got maybe a plus two game we probably not supposed to win, probably end up winning. So between 9-8 and 11-6, that's where I am. Yep, and we're going to be a defensively team for at least half the season. So look out.
Thank you, Jonesy. Good to hear from you. All right, look, we got plenty of time, and we got a lot to watch between now and early September. Denton and I will be together, knock on wood, that first week in September following Labor Day, which is really the beginning of the sports radio calendar, high season in this town, when everybody's back off of that long Labor Day weekend and they're back in town and you start to focus in on the NFL. I'm telling you right now, barring a significant injury or two, I don't think I'll come off 10-7. I can't imagine being more aggressive than 10-7. I think that's the high mark for me. I think I'll be right there when we get to early September. Thanks for all the calls. So yesterday when Quinn and Peters spoke, I thought there were two interesting sound bites. We talked briefly about them after we carried the press conference live, but I thought it was an indication of what they think out there about one of the perceived weaknesses from the outside. I'll explain when we come back. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
So yesterday, before they got started today with their first practice out at training camp, General Manager Adam Peters and Dan Quinn held a press conference. We carried it here live on the show. It was about 30 minutes long. And, you know, we went through some of, you know, the highlights afterwards. But there's something that stood out to me, you know, initially, and then I thought about it a little bit more. And we didn't play back the sound yesterday, and I wanted you guys to listen to two specific answers about the offensive line. This first one is Adam Peters answering a question from Sam Fortier at the Washington Post about Cornelius Lucas specifically. Here's the question. Here's Adam Peters' answer.
Adam, as you were building the roster, I'm curious, what made you confident, hey, if with our offensive line, with Cornelius Lucas, if he were the starting left tackle, what made you confident that he could hold down that role?
Yeah, just watching the tape and understanding what type of player he is, what type of person he is, talking with the previous staff and people that have been with him. So we felt, you know, confident in him as a person. And then watching the tape, you know, I think, you know, as a pass protector, Cornelius is really, really good. And so we got really good coaches that can help him with our skills and develop, like Coach said, in terms of whether it's year one, year two, or, you know, as you're a veteran, you can still get better. And so he did really well out here in the spring, and so we feel confident that he can still continue to do that.
You know, one of the first moves this organization made was to re-sign Cornelius Lucas, to a one-year deal worth $4 million, you know, at the very beginning of free agency. And they did it because of what Adam Peters just described. He was a really, really good pass protector. I have a feeling most of you don't really have much of an idea as to what some of the advanced numbers said about some of the performers on the offensive line last year. Sam Cosmi was the number 3 rated guard in the NFL per PFF, and number 4, per PFF, number 2 over the last 7 weeks of the season. Cornelius Lucas was in the top half, would have been in the top half of the league had he had enough starts and enough snaps as a pass blocker in pass block pressure percentage. He was better than average. Andrew Wiley was actually right around average as a pass blocker, and Washington's pass block win rate per ESPN's next gen numbers were right in the middle of the league at 16. This offensive line, per a lot of the advanced metrics, was not as bad as everybody thought it was. It's something we've talked a lot about, and we talked about it during the season last year. Look, I'm with most of you. You know, my eyes told me this offensive line is a problem. But my eyes also told me that the quarterback was a problem, and the coordinator, if he wasn't in quick game mode, was a problem as well. And we'll see what this offensive line ends up doing. And I'm not, you know, disputing the fact that this was a team that looked to trade back into the first round to pick an offensive lineman. You know, I think it was Mims from Georgia who they had some interest in. He went 18 overall to Cincinnati. It could have been the kid from Arizona, Jordan Morgan, who got drafted by Green Bay. Tyler Guyton got picked at 29 by the Cowboys. You know, they look, our general manager basically implied that it was that there was some interest in trading back into the first round. We presume it was for a tackle, but he sounds really sold on Cornelius Lucas as their starting left tackle. Feels like, you know, they talked to the last staff, good person, had a good spring. They think their coaches will make a difference, and he was, quote, a really, really good pass protector, closed quote. So then I wanted to play, after you heard Peters on Cornelius Lucas, Dan Quinn answering a question from David Harrison from Sports Illustrated yesterday. It was, you'll hear the question, but it's essentially asking about, you know, weaknesses and strengths. And I want you to listen very carefully to what Dan Quinn says about perceived weaknesses and perceived strengths.
Coach, we talk a lot out here about perceived weaknesses or holes on the roster. Where are you most confident in your roster right now?
Yeah, a lot of spots, honestly. And what may be perceived as a weakness externally might actually be something stronger internally.
What may be perceived as a weakness externally might actually be something strong internally. What is the weakness, the number one perceived weakness from any fan, from any analyst that covers the NFL or covers this team? The runaway number one perceived weakness on this team is the offensive line. It's possible he was thinking when he said that about corner or pass rush or wide receiver depth. It's possible, but when you answer that question, and he didn't say the offensive line, I understand that completely. He did not identify when he said what may be perceived as a weakness externally might actually be something stronger internally. He didn't say he was talking about the offensive line. But the number one perceived weakness on this football team is its offensive line. And that's when I turn to, you know, some of the advanced numbers from last year, and you take a totally new staff and you say, well, what do they really think of it? This is something we've talked a lot about during the offseason, that when you get a new regime, sometimes they think of what they think of the roster much differently than maybe even the last staff thinks about it, in part because, you know, the players there are going to be playing in a much different scheme. You know, Washington actually, and I was wrong, their pass block win rate ended up ranked 14th. I said 16th. A buddy of mine texted me and said it was 14th. Their pass block win rate last year was 14th in the league per Next Gen. Their run block win rate was 22nd in the league. It had been higher at various points in the season. But I think that Dan Quinn, it's just a guess, it's just a hunch, I think in his mind when he answered that question, he was saying, you guys think our offensive line stinks. We don't. We don't think it stinks. Let's also keep in mind, it's not the same offensive line that it was last year. 3/5 of the projected starters will be new. Tyler Biadasz at center, Nick Allegretti at left guard, and Cornelius Lucas, who started 4 games last year, at left tackle. Cosme and Wiley are the only 2 returning full-time starters from the team last year. A lot of you are looking at this season saying, I will buy into Jaden Daniels being a talent and having a chance to be a good quarterback in this league, but you got to protect him. And they couldn't protect Sam Howell. I think Sam Howell couldn't protect Sam Howell. I think Eric Bieniemy chose much of the time not to run an offense or call plays that were more conducive to protecting Sam Howell. Again, my eyes told me that that offensive line the last couple of years wasn't good. I'm just telling you that the PFF numbers, the next gen numbers, said differently. Didn't say it was a good offensive line. It said it was an average offensive line. Pass block win rate next gen was actually slightly better than average. And I thought that those two sound bites put together were interesting because I think it really spoke to their internal feeling about this perceived weakness. Again, it may be that in his mind, when he answered that question, he was thinking about corner. You know, because I think that's a perceived weakness. It doesn't get talked up as much as the offensive line does. He may have been talking about just pass rush in general. Because I think we're all, as fans, wondering, you know, will they be able to generate a pass rush? I think they'll be able to scheme up pass rush. They better, because I do look at corner, and I'm concerned a bit about corner going into the season. But the overwhelming number one concern for anybody looking at this team closely is O-line from the outside, externally. I don't think they think the same internally. They might be wrong. They did try to trade up, as I said. It's not like they thought they were so set that they didn't want to draft an offensive lineman and look to do so by trading back into the first round, and eventually took one in the third round in Brandon Coleman from TCU. We'll see. I thought that that was an interesting couple of answers because my gut tells me that they're not nearly as alarmed about their offensive line situation as we are. I also think part of that may be looking at what they did last year and with whom, meaning offensive coordinator and quarterback, and saying we've got a completely different situation this year with offensive coordinator and quarterback. We shall see. Adam Peters said something else yesterday that led me to just look something up real quickly, and I wanted to mention that. He was asked about sort of ongoing roster construction. Here's what he said.
Adam, as far as continuously looking to have opportunities to build the roster and improve the roster, how does that evaluation process look at this stage of the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, it's every day. It's throughout the summer when we're away. We're always constantly talking about that, constantly talking to other teams, other GMs, whether it's a trade or whether it's internally with our, you know, our short list and our emergency list. So figuring out, all right, where, you know, if this happens, where do we go? And so we have all those processes in place, and you know, this is a league where injuries do happen, and hopefully, knock on wood, we don't have too many, but we'll be ready when they do, and our team, with led by Lance and David Blackburn, are all set and ready to go. So, yeah, it's something you're always doing. You're always monitoring. You're always challenging yourself to say, okay, have we explored every opportunity? And that's what we pride ourselves on doing.
So one of the benefits from 4-13 is that, and having the second pick in the draft and being the second worst team in the NFL last year to Carolina, is that you're second in line when players hit the waiver wire. This is an interesting position. Look, they've had some bad teams, but the records in recent years, you know, they were 8-1 in 2022. They were 7-10 in 2021. They were 7-9 in a division winner in 2020. You know, they had the bad year in 2019, but they haven't had this position since post 2019. And when they get to August 27th at 4 p.m., which is the deadline to cut down from 90 to 53, remember, the NFL doesn't do the multiple cut down dates anymore. It's one cut down date. rate. That started, I think, last year. You go from your 90 training camp players to 53 in one fell swoop. Washington will have the second opportunity on players that hit the waiver wire after Carolina. Now, the players that hit the waiver wire, they have to be eligible for waiver pickups, meaning they have to have 4 years or less in the league. If you're a veteran player of more than 4 years, you're not eligible to be picked up off of the waiver wire. But when you look at this team and the possibility of adding players, late August. I mean, let's start with kicker, right? I mean, this guy, Ramiz Ahmed, is going to have a chance in these preseason games to earn a job, I guess, in training camp and in preseason games. But I think there is a sense that there's the kicker for the opener at Tampa Bay may not be on the roster right now. That kicker may be a guy from a team that has two veteran kickers or two young good kickers, that may come via the waiver wire. Now, again, if it's a veteran kicker of more than 4 years, that's not a waiver wire pickup, but they'll have the number two opportunity on players that hit the waiver wire, because in the offseason and then through the first 3 weeks of the regular season, the waiver wire opportunities go in order of the draft. Carolina didn't actually have the number one pick in the draft because they had traded it to Chicago. But from a waiver wire standpoint, they'll get the first swing at players that hit the waiver wire, and Washington will get the second opportunity. It is a chance for them to the best chance that they've had since 2019 or going into the 2020 season to add players, you know, post August 27th and prior to September 8th to the roster that may be better than some of the players they have now. They'll have a better chance than some to do that. I think some of you knew that already, but I have a feeling some of you didn't realize that. That is one of the benefits of having the second worst record in the NFL. You don't want to be there most of the time, but that will be something that would potentially be advantageous for them come the waiver wire pickup. And by the way, that goes for the first 3 weeks of the season. First 3 weeks of the season, it's based on last year's draft order, and then in week four, it then goes to the current records of the teams in the league in terms of waiver wire pickups. All right. Guess who spoke yesterday? I know you probably don't want to hear from him, but Ron Rivera was on Adam Schefter's podcast, and he talked about his time in Washington and also has had an opinion on Jaden Daniels. You'll hear what he said next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We are free and live always if you download the Odyssey app. So yesterday, Adam Schefter's podcast featured an interview with Washington's former coach, Ron Rivera. Ron did not get hired in the offseason. There was some discussion about potential jobs for him on various staffs. He did not get a gig. He talked to Adam about, you know, doing some media this year. I think NFL Network is where Ron Rivera will appear, I think, during the season. I think he's going to be on TV somewhere when the season begins. But there were a couple of parts of this interview that focused on his time in Washington and on what Washington has now in Jaden Daniels. The first part of this was just Adam kind of getting to the past and asking about his time in D.C. You'll hear Ron explain why it didn't necessarily work out.
I'm curious to know, as you look back at your time in Washington, what comes to mind when you look back at the time you spent there?
Was the truth is, Adam, I became more of a manager than I was a coach at one point. Hmm. I was managing, you know, things that were going on that were outside of football. I was trying to manage the players and keep their focus on what's going on in the football field as opposed to what was going on out in the media, what was going on out in the public. That was a very difficult thing. People have no idea how hard that was and how distracting it was. So just how hard that portion of it was. It really, you know, that's what I don't think people understand. And the hard part, too, is we didn't have the structure, you know, that you see in most teams typically. And that was, you had somebody that was really managing the day-to-day football operations. That all fell on me. And I think the thing that you see is like, you know, and again, 49ers are a great example. You know, John manages that portion of it, and Carl manages the team, just the players and the game. And I think when you have that split structure, you're in a much better place. You really are.
I mean, isn't that rich? Seriously. I mean, didn't have the structure most teams do, you know, that it all fell on me. The 49ers are a good example. Lynch is the GM. Kyle gets to coach the team. That split structure. What are you talking about? That's what you wanted. You were hired in that coach-centric position where you got to not only coach the groceries, but buy them as well. You got what you wanted. You had total control. Dan gave it to you in 2020. I mean, I don't get that part of it at all. I mean, that is really kind of hysterically funny. Now, with respect to, you know, being a manager more than a coach, you know, people have no idea how hard it was. People didn't understand it. We understood it. Trust me. Those of us who have been paying attention to the franchise and paid attention to it closely knew that I felt that Ron Rivera was a good coach at Carolina. I did. I still think he probably would be a decent coach if he were just coaching the team. But, you know, this was always, as Mike Jones always referred to it, as a reverse car wash. You come in clean, you leave dirty. No one had a chance to succeed under Dan Snyder. And I think it's fair that, you know, Ron came in at the worst possible, the worst time during the Dan Snyder ownership tenure. I mean, the name was lost. The investigations started. He got cancer, for crying out loud. I know it wasn't easy. It's never easy. And it was never easy coming to work here for this franchise. And it was one of the reasons, by the way, he demanded and wanted full control. Because I think his conversation with Gibbs before he took this job was Gibbs saying, you got to have the control here. You know, you can't come in and allow, you know, Dan and others to get involved in the football part of the operation. But I thought that was really kind of interesting how he discussed that the team didn't have the structure that most NFL teams do, the typical structure. And because of it, it all fell on me. Well, that's what he wanted in the job. He also was asked by Adam Schefter about Washington selecting Jaden Daniels. Here's how that went.
You mentioned Jaden Daniels. Had you studied him at all, knowing yes. that you were going to have a high pick?
Yes. You know, at the end of, you know, during that part, you always start looking ahead and seeing. Yes. So I can start watching the quarterbacks and thinking, God, this kid's got it. He's got it. And because Cliff Kingsbury's there, I think that was a tremendous pick for him because that offense counts on the quarterback doing a lot and making things happen, in my opinion. And you saw some of the success he had in Arizona. The one thing, though, is that they've got to be able to protect him and protect him, you know, from injury because the young man's going to play all out. And you don't want him to get hurt. You really don't because I think he can be successful in this offense.
If you had stayed there in Washington and you had still been the coach – and been an active part of the front office. Do you think when the season ended that your organization was going in a Jaden Daniels direction, or was there another guy that you were looking at with that number two overall pick, Ron?
No, that was the quarterback. I really think that was the quarterback. I really do. You look at his ability to prolong the play, to extend the play, look at his ability to throw the ball downfield and create, look at his ability to run.
That was Rivera on Daniels saying that they started to look ahead and they identified Daniels and that he would have, had he been here, and, you know, I think most of you would say the same thing. Fortunately, they are not here anymore, that he would have been in position and would have taken Daniels at number two overall in a coach-centric system where he would have had the choice. But anyway, look, the takeaway from that part isn't that Ron's bullish on Jaden Daniels or bullish on Cliff Kingsbury, and he said that's a big hire. But it's that, you know, if he's being, you know, completely honest, and sometimes, you know, Ron, you know, was sort of political in some of his answers over the years. We all started to speak Ronese, as Galdi called it. Is that they were already starting to look at quarterbacks towards the end of that year. They had bailed on Sam Howell. There is no doubt. When they benched him late in the year, even though he ultimately played those final two games because Brissett couldn't go. But that stretch, really after the Seattle game, was, you know, was confirmation to them that Sam Howell was not a starting quarterback in the NFL, at least not in the situation they were in last year, and they were already starting to look at quarterbacks for the year ahead. All right, first training camp practice is in the books. Ben Standig was there. He'll join us next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
So yesterday, Adam Schefter's podcast featured an interview with Washington's former coach, Ron Rivera. Ron did not get hired in the offseason. There was some discussion about potential jobs for him on various staffs. He did not get a gig. He talked to Adam about, you know, doing some media this year. I think NFL Network is where Ron Rivera will appear, I think, during the season. I think he's going to be on TV somewhere when the season begins. But there were a couple of parts of this interview that focused on his time in Washington and on what Washington has now in Jaden Daniels. The first part of this was just Adam kind of getting to the past and asking about his time in D.C. You'll hear Ron explain why it didn't necessarily work out.
I'm curious to know, as you look back at your time in Washington, what comes to mind when you look back at the time you spent there?
Well, the truth is, Adam, I became more of a manager than I was a coach at one point. I was managing, you know, things that were going on that were outside of football. I was trying to manage the players and keep their focus on what's going on in the football field as opposed to what was going on out in the media, what was going on out in the public. That was a very difficult thing. People have no idea how hard that was and how distracting it was. So just how hard that portion of it was. It really, you know, that's what I don't think people understand. And the hard part, too, is we didn't have the structure, you know, that you see in most teams typically. And that was you had somebody that was really managing the day-to-day football operations. That all fell on me. And I think the thing that you see is like, you know, and again, 49ers are a great example. You know, John manages that portion of it, and Carl manages the team, just the players and the game. And I think when you have that split structure, you're in a much better place. You really are.
I mean, isn't that rich? Seriously. I mean, didn't have the structure most teams do, you know, that it all fell on me. The 49ers are a good example. Lynch is the GM. Kyle gets to coach the team. That split structure. What are you talking about? That's what you wanted. You were hired in that coach-centric position where you got to not only coach the groceries but buy them as well. You got what you wanted. You had total control. Dan gave it to you in 2020. I mean, I don't get that part of it at all. I mean, that is really kind of hysterically funny. Now, with respect to, you know, being a manager more than a coach, you know, people have no idea how hard it was. People didn't understand it. We understood it. Trust me. Those of us who have been paying attention to the franchise and paid attention to it closely knew that I felt that Ron Rivera was a good coach at Carolina. I did. I still think he probably would be a decent coach if he were just coaching the team. But, you know, this was always, as Mike Jones always referred to it, as a reverse car wash. You come in clean, you leave dirty. No one had a chance to succeed under Dan Snyder. And I think it's fair that, you know, Ron came in at the worst possible, the worst time during the Dan Snyder ownership tenure. I mean, the name was lost. The investigations started. He got cancer, for crying out loud. I know it wasn't easy. It's never easy. And it was never easy coming to work here for this franchise. And it was one of the reasons, by the way, he demanded and wanted full control. Because I think his conversation with Gibbs before he took this job was Gibbs saying, you got to have the control here. You know, you can't come in and allow, you know, Dan and others to get involved in the football part of the operation. But I thought that was really kind of interesting how he discussed that the team didn't have the structure that most NFL teams do, the typical structure. And because of it, it all fell on me. Well, that's what he wanted in the job. He also was asked by Adam Schefter about Washington selecting Jaden Daniels. Here's how that went.
You mentioned Jaden Daniels. Had you studied him at all, knowing that you were going to have a high pick?
Yes. You know, at the end of, you know, during that part, you always start looking ahead and seeing things. So you start watching the quarterbacks and thinking, God, this kid's got it. He's got it. And because Cliff Kingsbury's there, I think that was a tremendous pick for him because that offense counts on the quarterback doing a lot and making things happen, in my opinion. And you saw some of the success he had in Arizona. The one thing, though, is that they've got to be able to protect him and protect him, you know, from injury because the young man's going to play all out. And you don't want him to get hurt. You really don't because I think he can be successful in this offense.
If you had stayed there in Washington and you had still been the coach – and been an active part of the front office. Do you think when the season ended that your organization was going in a Jaden Daniels direction, or was there another guy that you were looking at with that number two overall pick, Ron?
No, that was the quarterback. I really think that was the quarterback. I really do. You look at his ability to prolong the play, to extend the play, look at his ability to throw the ball downfield. and create his ability to run.
That was Rivera on Daniels, saying that they started to look ahead and they identified Daniels, and that he would have, had he been here. And, you know, I think most of you would say the same thing. Fortunately, they are not here anymore, that he would have been in position and would have taken Daniels at number two overall in a coach-centric system where he would have had the choice. But anyway, look, the takeaway from that part isn't that Ron's bullish on Jaden Daniels or bullish on Cliff Kingsbury, and he said that's a big hire. But it's that, you know, if he's being, you know, completely honest, and sometimes, you know, Ron, you know, was sort of political in some of his answers over the years. We all started to speak Ronese, as Galdi called it. Is that they were already starting to look at quarterbacks towards the end of that year. They had bailed on Sam Howell. There is no doubt. When they benched him late in the year, even though he ultimately played those final two games because Brissett couldn't go. But that stretch, really after the Seattle game, was, you know, was confirmation to them that Sam Howell was not a starting quarterback in the NFL, at least not in the situation they were in last year, and they were already starting to look at quarterbacks for the year ahead. All right, first training camp practice is in the books. Ben Standing was there. He'll join us next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.